And good morning. Welcome into In Focus Radio KMAN here on the final Thursday of June. That typically means we have a couple of regular guests here in studio, usually, but not for the last few months. On the phone, we have Dr. Tim Schaefer joining us here. He is the director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy at K-State and a professor in the communications department. Good to have you on, Dr. Schaefer.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I can't believe after, you know, 3 months of this, I'm still saying, in studio. That's not a thing we have right now.
No, I long for the moment we can come back to those conversations, but this will do for now.
Yeah. Well, it's been an interesting few months, obviously, with everything going on in the world. But you've kept pretty busy yourself. I know recently you hosted actually a Zoom call with Senator Hawke, and that went pretty well. It had to do with CARES Act funding, how that money's going to get appropriated. Is that something typically you help out with, things like that?
Well, you know, it's an interesting example. I was contacted by Senator Hawke just a few days prior to that, and he had expressed interest in having a conversation. We figured out very quickly, shared some information using Zoom, which is a platform that people are increasingly familiar with. And he was able to round up a number of local either government officials or representatives for like the Chambers of Commerce and the like via Christie. And it was a really good conversation. I think it was a number of very brief 2-3 minute presentations by about 8 folks. From Clay, Riley, Geary County, and some of those businesses as well, and then a chance for a little bit of Q&A, and so people could raise questions, they could ask directly, or they could kind of put them into a kind of a chat feature on Zoom, and then we would kind of ask them. So I moderated that, and I think it went well. I know K-Man covered it, and there was a story on it, so people could take a look at it on K-Man's website and see the link and actually watch the video. And that was one of the real hopes, was Senator Hawke had expressed the hope for doing more kind of community conversations like that, that would allow people to both get some information on highly pertinent issues, as well as be able to give some feedback or ask those questions, with the aspiration for some of that happening here again locally, as well as maybe some of his counterparts in other districts around the state adopting some of those practices. And I'll just say here, kind of in closing on this, one of the hopes that I have as the new director for the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy is to do this kind of thing. Like, it's interesting to me, and especially now with some of the technology, the capacity to do it is maybe a little bit easier. The hurdle is lower. And so I'm looking forward to more of these kinds of conversations, especially where people can have kind of immediate access to either representatives or to others that would have, I think, pertinent information, or at least conversations that would be useful for them to be aware of, that are not hindered by you know, needing to be at a certain place. You could literally be at home on your couch or at your dinner table or even on your phone going somewhere, if that happens to be the case.
You know, it's an interesting concept here, doing meetings like this. And, you know, I think you're right. A lot of folks are getting more comfortable. I'm curious if your office or maybe others have been tapped by any of the political candidates here, maybe to do something like this for upcoming debates here in the fall.
You know, we have not, or at least I'm not aware of it. But I think I would be personally, I'd be open to it and thinking about it. I know, you know, as a public institution, we want to be kind of thoughtful and intentional about the ways that we kind of present some of that being viewed as being partisan. And truly more as a kind of either a moderator or a facilitator, depending on the conversation. But I would hope for these kinds of things. I think as we look around and see, I think truly a lot of kind of pain, angst born out of frustration from many and around the United States as it relates to a whole host of issues, These are the moments when we would do well to have space and opportunity for some of that kind of either conversation, if it's able to be done that way, or at least a presentation, more of a kind of the one directional kind of sharing of information or policy positions and views, because it's one of the wonderful things now is that we have, in certain ways, kind of flattened or kind of democratized technology in a way that I can and you can use things like Facebook and YouTube Live and all sorts of platforms that would allow us to share our views instantaneously. And if we think about that from more of like a public serving institution perspective, we too can use some of these technologies and then share it and disseminate it in those ways that would be, I think, helpful and advantageous for many of us, especially when we're talking about local community issues that it's not easy to engage one another in person to person. The Manhattan City Council has been really well here. The school board using technology for commission meetings and school board meetings and the like. I personally have really appreciated that, being able to kind of drop in literally as I'm hanging out with my kids as they're riding their bikes in the driveway or across the street, and I can kind of pay attention to what's going on locally. It's a really wonderful way to do it. And I think this moment has, for some people, pushed them further than they may have gone personally. It's largely because we've kind of had this expectation now rather than just this possibility of utilizing these platforms and this technology.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's increased engagement. I think these types of virtual platforms for all sorts of meetings. I mean that everything's broadcast, it seems like, now that way. And you know, and I know that there's work being done here behind the scenes with some different projects you're involved with here. Let's talk a little bit about that. The Kansas Youth through 4-H are doing some community conversations coming up.
Yeah, so we have, our Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy has partnered with K-State Research and Extension, and particularly with Youth Development in 4-H, to host what are called community conversations. And they've been going on for months now. Some great colleagues in Youth Development in 4-H have really helped, I think, kind of build that up in a way that is now getting both a lot of interest. We've had young people, young Kansans, and communities across the state engaging in some of this, as well as some convening in the state capitol. What seems like a very long time ago, because you're still able to do that, but earlier this year. And so the community conversations have really become, I think, an opportunity for young people to see kind of the possibility of more kind of constructive conversations and what that means. And so the idea of, the listeners later, if we can share some of this information, I can see a really good example of a middle schooler here in Riley County who has produced just a few minute long video introducing what community conversations are and why we need to use civil discourse to communicate with each other and, you know, to come to understand one another and recognizing like why we have different styles of communication. And I appreciated colleague Elia Mestrovich Day, who has really helped develop this into the program that it is, and a partner at ICV. I see her fingerprints all over this, because there's one of the slides is about communication styles, and it's fairly simple, but there are these kind of three ways we can think about it. We can talk about people being turn takers, we can talk about people being pausers, and we can talk about people being overlappers. And it's all about the ways that when we're in a conversation, sometimes there's a natural overlap of you're speaking and I'm speaking, and we just very naturally have this, while others are really going to kind of pause and wait and reflect and kind of try to make some sense of what's being said. But that also means that there are these gaps, and for some that's really awkward and strange. And the other, the third, the turn takers, right, that people will speak kind of one at a time in this very kind of normal fashion. And the reason I mention that is, if we don't ever process it that way or think about it in a slightly reflective way, we don't really think about it as deeply. We just think, yeah, people are in conversation and maybe you are getting run over. and maybe you're not, because you're the person who is really inclined to talk that way. And so I appreciate the presentation that the young person did that kind of helped explain why it's good to know those types of things and where specific discourse is different from something like debate. It's a little bit less about winning and losing and more kind of collaborative. And so it's all framed about youth facilitators and how it can be useful in school and everyday life. And I would just encourage people, as we kind of look around and see a lot of the challenges, one of the opportunities as a response is how do we have real constructive conversations, not just kind of the lip service of a listening session, for example, but how do we have real, meaningful, and frankly, sometimes challenging conversations? And the way to do that is to have oftentimes that be facilitated by someone who knows what they're doing. And so that's part of the work that our Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy, ICDD, does, and we've been really happy to partner with K-State 4-H and the K-State Research at Extension more generally.
Yeah, they do great work, that's for sure. I've interviewed some of the kids there. It's been a while since they've been in, but yeah, it's neat to see that happening at such a young age.
Well, it becomes, yes, and it becomes, I think, an opportunity when we start to say, how do we think about this and how do we do this having application in a variety of settings? So as we're coming back into school for youth, for example, to think of some of these kinds of conversations, maybe around policies or processes to be able to understand it. You know, so if we're talking about, and I don't know what our local school district and others have not necessarily announced some of the policies, but I could see some utility of some conversations, whether it's with youth, with parents, with administrators, with teachers, to be able to be as kind of clear as possible to where people can also understand it. And if there is space for some discussion about it that could be constructive rather than just kind of information given to them, it could really change the tone. And especially when we look here at the landscape and say, things are going to be really strange. What's one way to reduce some of that is for the community, and thinking about the school as that community, to be able to have some conversation about that. And not in a way that it necessarily diminishes kind of the science or the ideas that are kind of essential here as you think about something like public health, but the ways that some of that gets implemented. This is the work that some of what we do, but lots of colleagues around the country and around the world who really are committed to these kind of participatory and democratic practices, the ability to have these kinds of conversations, actually do the work that you need, is a really important thing to be mindful of, right? It's not relinquishing expertise, but it's finding a different way of being in relationship and conversation. So it's wonderful to be reminded of this this last video that was just shared with us and see the real possibilities. And I was just on a conversation a few days ago with our 4-H director, Wade Weber at K-State, and we continue to express the desire to do more collaboration and see a real alignment in the collective work that we're doing. And I think at the end of the day, that's good for all of us.
Absolutely. Well, let's pause here. We'll take a break and we'll come back more with Dr. Schaefer on In Focus after this on News Radio KMAN.